Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And we praise your name for another opportunity to fellowship around the Word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. His name is to be praised among the believers and even the heavens and everywhere. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, and who healeth all my diseases. Father, I thank you for the entrance of your word, because it gives light, brings in light, and gives understanding to the simple. Let it shine in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome to day three of our convocation week as we close out this year by the grace of God in his presence. What a wonderful opportunity. Today, our lesson, our topic is going to be our amazing God, the Redeemer of time. Well, this is a piggyback on yesterday's lesson. Yesterday's lesson, what you will recover all. Lord said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Also, you know, a follow-up to yesterday's lesson. So, you know, this will be kind of a part two of that. You know, but this is today's title. Our amazing God, the Redeemer of time. First of all, let me talk about the word redeem. You know, because we think of the Lord, when we think of Redeemer as the Lord, we think of him as redeeming our life from destruction. Well, who redeemeth my life from destruction? The psalmist said in Psalm 103, who redeemeth my life from destruction, crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So we think of the Lord, Redeemer like that, you know, and, you know, Job also said, you know, I know that my Redeemer liveth. So every time we think of the Lord, we think of him in terms of, you know, he's the Redeemer. He's redeemed our life from destruction. He is, you know, the one that can redeem us from being lost. You know, he's a savior. So he's a savior, he's a redeemer. He said, well, I am the savior, I am the redeemer. There is none besides me. So we think of the Lord in those terms. And indeed, he is those terms. You know, so, but I want to talk about a different viewpoint today concerning the power of redemption that is in the Lord, and that he is that attribute of him to redeem. So I'm going to be talking about Redeemer of time. Now, redeem can also mean, you know, to, you know, correct or repair, you know, or do damage control. You know, sometimes you say, well, you know, this, you know, the event was didn't go well, except that somebody, you know, was redeemed by, you know, this action or that action. Redeem can also be to buy back, claim back, or whatever. You know, so there are many, many ways that you can look at the word redeem. So, but today I want you to stay with me. Praise the Lord. You know, let's take a quick look at Job chapter 19 and verse 25. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. You know, and things like that. You know, that's the way that Job thought about the Lord being a redeemer. So my question is, before we even get going here today, when you think of the Lord as a redeemer, what do you think? What comes to mind? Well, let's do the my favorite exercise in this room is for you to post something in the chat room, right? So why don't you go ahead and post in the chat room what comes to mind when you think of the Lord as redeemer? For I know that my redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Well, whom I shall see for myself, my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know, so this man, he was thinking of his redeemer in terms of the resurrection. So what do you think of when you think of the word redeemer in connection with the Lord? Well, let's take a minute. Post the first couple of words that come to mind in the chat room, if you would. That'll be helpful for all of us to look at that and see what people are thinking. The word redeemer. What are you thinking? Let me see what people are posting. Well, somebody said, my Savior, my Deliverer, my Restorer. That's all good. Let's see. My Restorer, another one. Savior, that's good. Let's see what people are posting. Yeah, I want to post more as you go along. You know, post more. What do you think? It's talking about reconciliation, another person said. That's great. What do you think? What's the word that comes to mind when you think of redeemer in connection with the Lord? What is the word that comes to mind? That's what I'm looking for here. Help us out here. Put these things on the in the chat room. I'm looking for it. You know, one says advocate. Well, that's good. You know? So, on and on and on. As the words come to you throughout this lesson, you can still keep posting. Let me tell you a story here. But what I want to bring today, or what the Lord rather wants me to bring to you today, in terms of, you know, Redeemer as an attribute of the Lord. You know, so now we know that we are instructed to, you know, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, to redeem the time. God's days are evil. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. That means, you know, you walk with wisdom, you know, and not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, don't let the time get away from you. Make good use of the time. You know, there is a way that when you wake up in the morning, if you don't really have a plan, the time can get away from you. You know, let's say you're on vacation or something, or you are retired. Now, those people who have to go to work at 8 a.m. or whatever, there is a plan. You got to get up. You got to take your shower. You got to get dressed. You got to take your breakfast, those who are into breakfast. Or you got to do whatever. You got to pray. You got to do all of that. You got to get into your car and drive to work. You know, so there is a plan. You know, then you got to go do 8 hours or however many hours you do. So there is at least some structure to the day. Now, if you are on vacation, however, or you are retired, or you are out of a job or whatever, the time may get away from you if there is really no specific plan. You may sleep in a little bit, or maybe more bit, actually. You may sleep in for hours. You may get up and wander around the house. You may sit around. You may just lazy around for some time. And before you know it, time can actually get away from you. And at the end of the day, when you look back, you may say, well, what did I actually do today? And the day is gone, one day, another day, yet another day. And you may not actually have accomplished anything. And many days may go by. And the strange thing, or peculiar thing, about time is when it's gone, it's gone. You know, it's gone. I mean, there are people that procrastinate, you know, I mean, the time wasters. They say, well, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll get to it next week, or I'll get to it next time. And then, you know, they don't do it. One day passes, 2 days pass, 3 days, 1 week, 1 month, and still they don't do it. You find out that, you know, and even sometimes years will pass. We dealt with this yesterday. You know, years that passed because of, you know, whatever, you know, errors we made in judgment that caused us to lose time. So I want to bring this aspect today because I didn't quite get into that yesterday. But some people lose a lot of time, you know, because of errors in judgment, things that they should have done. I mean, think of a young person that's, you know, going to school, doing their studies, and, you know, they're still sharp, their brain is sharp, they're energetic and everything. And, you know, they finish their high school, they go to college, you know, they finish their first degree, you know, and so forth. They, you know, they may even finish their master's or whatever. Or when they finish their first degree, there's opportunity to do an advanced degree. And they procrastinate a little bit. Or maybe they finish their master's degree and there's an opportunity to do a doctorate or whatever when they are still young. You know, if you do all those things in a stretch, you can find out that, you know, by the time you're 26 or so, you may have a doctorate degree. You know, it's quite possible. But if you don't do it when you could have done it, and you say, well, you know, whatever, and then you find out 1 year goes by, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And then you look back after 20 years and you say, oh, my goodness, if I could have done this, you know, it would take me only 5 years and I'd be done with it. You know, and then you really can't get that time back. It's gone. You know, and losses like that bring regrets, you know, and so on. So, and some of them may not be quite as, you know, drastic as what I described. It could just be a little loss of time here and there. It might be days. Maybe it hasn't stretched to years yet. Or it might be even hours in the day. You can lose a lot of time in the day doing nothing or nothing worth anything that has no value to your eternal state. There's no value. There's no value in your life. You just wasted time. You can't even really grasp what you do. You know, a lot of young people waste time on things that don't mean anything. Watching television, playing video games, doing all of these things, whereas they should have been learning, you know. And, you know, they just waste their time. And they amount to nothing at the end because they spent all the time on something that meant absolutely nothing, you know. So, you know, the... And those of you that listen to my Pillars of Wisdom series, I covered it when we covered knowledge. It's, you know, when you, knowledge is so critical. You need to have it. And most people, instead of doing things that actually can gain knowledge from, they just do things that mean nothing, you know. And, you know, just waste the whole time, learn nothing, gain nothing. Time is gone, can't do anything about it. Regret sets in finally. You know, even the scripture says, look, you know, remember the Lord in the days of thy youth. You know, what happens? Well, Ecclesiastes 12 will tell you that. While the evil days come not, because, you know, at some point in time, you're going to look back. You can read that in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. And you're going to say, wow. You know. And the time is gone. So anyway, that's a background to how time can be lost. You know, other time can be lost, not intentionally and not through laziness. You know. and not through just wasting the time. It could just be lost because people actually tried. Some people try and try and try, but they gain nothing. You know, time is also lost that way. So I want to talk about that today. You tried and you're hanging around. I mean, you're doing, you know, sometimes people are looking for work and they are trying, and but they can't find. But they're actually doing something. It's not like they're just sitting down. They are sending resumes. They're trying to improve their resume. They're rewriting it. They are looking at ads. They are applying. They're doing this. But nobody is giving them a chance. And, you know, they just, you know, time is going by. What they have now, or nothing. Sometimes they have nothing, or sometimes what they have is not enough. And they are trying, but nothing is happening. I mean, nothing seems to be going their way. They're making effort. They're doing everything. Time is going. And, you know, all kinds of things. You know, and, I mean, sometimes even people, you know, it could be marriage. You know, you're waiting to be married and you're not, it's just not happening. You're a woman and you grow up in a culture where the woman waits and the man is the one that finds them. And they're waiting, nobody seems to be finding them. It's almost like they, you know, refused. It's like a woman refused. The Bible calls some out like that. The woman refused in their youth. You know, the woman rejected. They're not sought out. I mean, it's just like, it's going on. Well, you're a man. You know, you can't seem to find anyone. Whatever you do doesn't work. You try, they say no. They say, you know, and so on. I mean, just time just passes. You know, or you're married. Time passes, you can't have a child yet. Many people in the Bible, you know, like Sarah, she waited 20 something years and she kept, you know, I'm sure they kept trying, but it wasn't happening. Finally, she got tired of it all and said, look, well, I know the Lord promised this thing, but I can't wait anymore. Why don't you go into my maid and see if I can do it, get a child through her that way, you know, and so on. I mean, there's just so many things. Well, let me tell you a story here today. And this is the, all of that was just to prepare your mind, you know. And you can still post in the scriptures, post something in the chat room of what you think when you think of Redeemer in terms of the Lord. But let's read a couple of stories here. You know, I love telling stories, but usually I like to tell them from the Bible. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories here, you know, from the Bible. First one I want to tell you today, in line with today's lesson, is taken from Matthew chapter 20. You know, and so in this story, now Jesus, he told many parables that he called, you know, parable that we call parables of the kingdom. He would just say things like, now the kingdom of heaven is like unto such and such. There's not one parable that tells everything about the kingdom of heaven. He gives little aspects. Sometimes he will drop a little here, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there, and so on and so forth. You have to put together all these parables to get all the aspects of the kingdom that he was trying to introduce or teach. You know, but sometimes he would just say one here and one there. In this one, he says, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 20 and verse 1, you know, is like unto a man that is an householder. You know, and you know, so in other words, this man has a large estate, you know, and he has, you know, some vineyard and he has some things and so forth. So he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Now, he went out early in the morning. Now, for the Jewish people that he was speaking to, you know, their day starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 6 p.m. You know, so that's their day. So he went out early in the morning. Well, maybe he went out at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9, I don't know. But early in the morning, you know. And so he found these laborers, you know, and these were day hire laborers. So when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny, a day. Now, a penny back in the day was a whole day's wage. I mean, it was a lot of money. Don't think of it as the American penny. You know, so anyway, when he had agreed with them as a penny, for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And then he went again about the third hour. So you see that the third hour was 9 a.m. So you see these people that he went out early in the morning could have been right around 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or at least it was before 9 a.m., which was the third hour. You know, so they started really early, like 7 a.m. or something. And then he went out about the third hour. This was 9 a.m. And he saw others standing by, idle in the marketplace. So he said to them, go also into the vineyard. And whatever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way and went to walk. And then he went out again about the sixth hour, which will be at noon. And then the ninth hour, which will be at 3 p.m. And he did likewise. And so on. So you see, he's been going out, finding these people and putting them to work. You know, and the first set of people was the one that actually bargained. You know, they went into a bargain, you know, or negotiations, if you want to call it that. And say, well, they say, well, what are you going to pay us? I say, well, I'll pay you this. You know, maybe they argued back and forth, but they agreed finally to something. You know, so once they agreed to that, the good man of the vineyard thought within himself, well, I'll just, you know, for the others, I'll just pay them whatever I want to pay them. You know, the others, you know, it's getting later in the day, so they're not coming from a position of strength, you know, so they just say, well, whatever. And the man said, I'll pay you whatever. They said, cool, just pay us whatever. So they went in, and everybody went in. Now, finally, about the 11th hour, there's only 1 hour left in the day, you know. This story here is where the phrase 11th hour, this is where it comes from. People use that phrase now that, you know, to refer to something that when something's almost too late. You know, as people talk about that now. So at the 11th hour, finally, there's only 1 hour left in the day. 11th hour will be 5 p.m. Remember, their day was 12 hours, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So at 11th hour, 5 p.m., about 1 hour left, he went out again and found others standing idle. And this time around, he asked them a question. Why have you been standing here idle all day long? I mean, you should have been at work somewhere, making some money, doing something with your life. He said, well, because no man has hired us. So they've been waiting all day long. No one hired them. I mean, they're looking for work. This is how they look for work. They just stand out there looking for somebody to come and hire them. So they were actually looking. They're not sitting in their homes. They're out there. You know, but nobody gave them any work to do. So finally, he said to them, well, you go into my vineyard also. Whatever is right, I'll give it to you. That's what you're going to receive. You know, so they went. They were thankful. They went in there. So when even was come, which was just 1 hour later, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call those laborers and, you know, let's give them their hire. Beginning from the last that came in for just 1 hour until the first that were there for like 11 hours maybe. And so when they came in that were hired at the 11th hour, who had worked for just 1 hour, he gave every man a penny. Remember, that was supposed to be a whole day's wage. These people only did 1/12 of the time. And he gave them a penny, which was the same that he negotiated with the first group. So, and so on. Everybody that came, he gave them a penny. They gave them a penny. So, the ones that started very early, they are psyched up, you know, because they saw the reward that the others got. So they were thinking in their head that, well, these people came in 1 hour. They only got one penny. We've been here 11 hours. We probably should get 11 pennies or something. you know, so they're thinking that in their head. So anyway, when they came, who started first, they supposed that they should have received more. In fact, they supposed that they should have received much more. You know, but they likewise received every man a penny. And then when they had received it, they grumbled. They grumbled and said, these last have worked just 1 hour. You know. But you have now made them equal to us, which we have borne the burden and the heat of the day all day long. We have been here. And you would make these people now who just came in at the last hour have the same, be the same as us? And the good man of the house said to them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny? We had negotiation. This is what you agreed. It was a contract. And I have given you what you agreed with me. Now go thy way, you know, enjoy your wages. I can give to this one last even as I gave to you. Because, you know, I can do whatever I want. You know, is it not lawful for me to do with that which is mine? Is your eye evil because I am good? Now, so the last shall be the first. And the first last. That's how God mixes things up. He can mix things up, shake things up. Many be called, few are chosen. The kingdom of God is what he's talking about here. But let's bring it down to today's lesson. The 11th hour, I call him the God of the 11th hour. I call him the amazing God, the Redeemer of time. Now, he wasn't redeeming time for those who bore the heat of the day for 11 hours. But he was redeeming time for those who were idle all day long, waiting, nothing happening. They're looking. It's not that they were lazy, but there's just nothing going on. They were out there looking. And then after all said and done, the Lord comes in, you know, the master of the vineyard, and say, okay, go. And he shows up for them at the 11th hour. But they got the same reward. He made them equal. Now, that's what I call the Redeemer of time. All that time that they lost from the beginning, which they should have been out there making more money, they thought, at the end, they got exactly the same. And the Lord made erase, it's kind of like he just erased those 10 hours that were gone. He made them equal. He paid them equal. Hallelujah. To the ones that were there. Now, you say, well, that's not fair. Well, Jesus said, well, this is, you know, a parable of the kingdom. You know, so in the kingdom, the Lord is a time, actually the time redeemer. I've shown you how nobody else can get time back. That's why I told all those, you know, analogies at the beginning. Nobody else can get time back. When it's gone, it's gone. But the Lord, on the other hand, because he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The way he does things, he's not subject to things in our realm. You know, for us, when time is gone, it's gone. We cannot get it back. But for the Lord, because he's the time redeemer, hallelujah, he can actually, you know, redeem time for you. What that means is that, look, all the years which the cankerworm has eaten, which we talked about yesterday, the Lord can redeem it for you in a moment of time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And, you know, you say, well, I'm starting late in life. You know, I'm just getting married when I'm in my 40s. Well, or, you know, I've been married for 7, 8 years, 9, 10, 12, you know, like Sarah and others. You know, I didn't have a child for many years. But when they did get that child, you know, it became a multitude. It became like, you know, out of him came the sands of the sea eventually. You know, so the Lord, he can do all these things because he's the time. I'm calling him today the Redeemer of time. You know, well, so the ones that were out there, you know, that were waiting all day, nothing happening. They had nothing going for them. They probably lost hope already, because you can see it in their words. Who said, well, I mean, we've been out here looking, but nothing happening. So they were already dismayed. They were already discouraged. They were already despondent, you know. But, you know, they didn't give up, though. They were still out in the marketplace. They didn't go home just yet. There was still, you know, some kind of very distant hope. Well, we'll just wait out the day. Well, we'll come back tomorrow, see what happens. But when the Lord of the vineyard showed up, we call it the 11th hour. At the end, recompense them the same, even as the one that were there for the beginning. Now let the Holy Spirit expand that in your mind. What is your peculiar situation? What is the time that has been lost in your life? And like I said, this is part two of yesterday's message. What is that time that has been lost? Now, God is about to do something now. I call him Redeemer of time. I'll tell you another story. This story is found in the book of Luke, chapter 5. And in this story, what do we have? Well, we see that here, there is something that was happening. You know, and let's just read the story. In Luke chapter 5, we're told that it came to pass that as the people pressed on Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two sheep standing by the lake. The fishermen were gone out and they were washing their nets. So he entered into one of the sheep, which was Simon. So the Lord knew which one to enter in. And he asked him, you know, thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down there and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon said unto him, remember, you know, they had been out there. They came in. They were gone out. They were washing their nets. They packed it in for the day. And Simon said, Master, we have toiled all night. They went through the night, they went through, and now it's early morning, and they still did not catch anything. You know, and we've caught nothing. And we've packed in our nets, we've washed our nets, we packed it in, you know, for another day. But, well, Simon did something here. And this is Simon Peter, by the way. He did something here that I always encourage people to do. And this is what Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 explains to us. That the word of God is a divider between the spirit and the soul. Now, in the soul is where you have emotions and discouragement and dismay and so forth. And you have letdowns and all of that. You know, but the spirit, it can latch onto the word. When the spirit latches onto the word, you can bring a separation between the, you put the soul in its place. All that dismay, discouragement, disappointment, and so forth. You know, let your spirit latch onto the word of God and put the soul in its place. And that's exactly what Peter is doing here. He's saying, well, you know, I've looked at the situation. I mean, these people are master fishermen. They know the craft. They've been doing it for a long time. They know when to go out, you know, in the day or whatever, or the night. And they know when to, they're going to catch that fish. But this time around, nothing was working for them. And they were like, oh, my goodness, nothing. I mean, we toiled all night long, all night long. We're here now. Nothing is happening. Well, let's go home. Let's call it a day. And they did. They were washing their nets. But Jesus went out there and said, do it again. Hallelujah. Do it again. But this time, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you where to put your net. And he said, well, and Peter said, well, nevertheless. And I love that word, nevertheless. It's a powerful, powerful word. Well, my situation is this way, has been this way, and nothing is working for me. That's what the soul says. I'm discouraged. I gave up. You know, it's too late. Or the spirit says, nevertheless, at thy word. So you use the word of God to separate between the soul and the spirit. That's what the divider between soul and spirit means in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. So now you say, well, nevertheless, at your word, because, you know, I know where the word comes from. The word comes from the master. You know, that's what he recognized that. He said, well, nevertheless, at thy word, I will do it. You know, and so they did it. And the next thing you know, oh, my goodness, the Redeemer of time showed up again. And all that time that they had lost all night long and all that, in one moment, Jesus redeemed the time. And he changed that story. And today we are looking back on that story and gaining encouragement from that story. That, my goodness, all the toil and labor and everything that amounted to nothing. In one moment, the Redeemer of time, he can change it all. Hallelujah. And Jesus, and, you know, when they had done what the Lord said, because he gave them the strategy, then they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and even their nets broke, and they couldn't, you know, they had to beckon unto their partners. Now, this is what is called, you know, flowing over or running over. You can't even contain it. It's running over, it's spilling over. They could not contain the blessing that eventually came when the time Redeemer showed up. Hallelujah. And when he redeemed that time for them, that they had lost all night, nothing happening. And when they would do it, it was a great intake. So much so that they could not even handle it. Their nets were breaking. They had to spill over to others. There were other ships, you know. There were at least two ships there that had packed it up for the day. They had to beckon to them, come on over and get some of this blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, and Simon Peter finally, when he saw it, you know, they filled both ships, you know, and they even began to sink. I mean, the thing was so great. They'd never seen anything like it. Master fishermen, they were, but never seen anything like it. You know, because the master, the time redeemer, he showed up. Glory to God. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you today, the Lord wants me to say to you today, don't give up. Don't give in. It's just around the corner. The time redeemer, our amazing God, is about to show up. Hallelujah. But when he shows up, where are you going to be at? You know, Jesus asked this question in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8. He said, well, you've been waiting for the Lord's salvation. You've been calling upon him and so forth. And he will hear you. He will come. But when he comes, where are you going to be at? Will you still be believing? You know, and the key word for us as we go through the end of this year to next year is believe. Will you still be at the point of faith? He said, when the man, Son of Man finally shows up, when the time Redeemer finally shows up, will you find faith? Will you still be believing? Or have you given up, packed it in, and, you know, buried your head under the sand in shame and so forth? Remember, my people shall never be ashamed. That's what he said yesterday as we read it in Joel. You know, my people shall never be ashamed. He said it twice. My people shall never be ashamed. what the Lord is going to do in redeeming the time. When he redeems the time, you know, Hannah, you know, was a woman that was a, she was a sorrowful woman all her life because her husband had two wives. She was one of the two wives, you know, and the other one was having children and she couldn't have any children. So, you know, and it was like she was being taunted. And she even called him my adversary, you know, and so forth, you know, and her heart, she had this burden and she prayed to the Lord and prayed and prayed. And it's like nothing was happening, you know, but one day when the time redeemer showed up, my goodness. And I tell you something, too, that, you know, some of these stories that we read in the Bible, they are indeed stories, but there's lessons in each of these stories. You find out that in most cases, some of these women that were barren for some time, had nothing going for them. Eventually, when the Lord would show up for them, you know, they always ended up with something tremendous. It was like, you know, this Samuel that was the first that she had became a mighty prophet. It was like, I mean, there are many stories like that. Sarah herself, look at what, you know, actually came up. In thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Look at Elizabeth, who was barren for a while, you know, and she finally brought forth John the Baptist, you know, whom Jesus said, you know, a great man and so forth. I mean, on and on and on and on, you know. And she said, look, this is what Hannah said. She blessed the Lord, you know, when the Lord finally turned what you might say her reproach around and gave her a son, of whom she said, well, if you give me a son, I'll give loan it back to the Lord. And she did too. And not only that, you know, after that, the Lord blessed her with even more children. And this Samuel became a tremendous prophet of the Lord, you know. So she finally said, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let no arrogancy come from your mouth. Well, just because you started out earlier, don't be proud, you know, and so forth. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 3, he said, look, you know, the Lord is a God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed. You know, bowels of the mighty are broken. They stumbled, are guarded with strength. I mean, the Lord, you know, he knows how to do it. You know, those who, you know, thought they had a lot became hungry. And those who were hungry, they begin to have more. You know, the barren has born seven, and so on. I mean, she just began to tell some incredible wisdom that came upon her here. And how the Lord can do all these things. And it can turn the tide, turn the tables, you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, I told you a story yesterday of it, even though it was under the topic of recover all, but it goes along with this, you know, time redeemer as well. The Shunammite woman that came and spoke to the king, you know, the Lord redeemed for her the 7 years that she had lost, you know, in that story. I mean, you can just look at it many ways. The time redeemer, the story of Jacob that I told you, how Laban stole 20 years of his time. But at the end of the day, all the wealth were transferred to him and God restored. He recovered and God redeemed all that time to him. But the one that I really want to focus on today is the one that causes me to call him the God of the 11th hour, the story that we read out of, you know, Matthew 20. That's our primary text for today. But the lesson today is for you to know that with him, time is nothing. Now, if the reason of your loss is due to your own foolishness, then you must come to him and repent. That's right. You heard it. You got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I am sorry. You gave me opportunities, but I did nothing. It's kind of like the man that buried his talent. you must repent. You know, we don't know that the man, that man ever repented. In fact, he was arrogant. He said, well, I know that you are, you know, an astute man, that you try to reap where you don't sow, this and that, you know, and so forth. Many times I wonder in the scriptures why people just don't repent of the evil that they did. I mean, repentance is a great thing. And we're going to do a lot of that in tomorrow's room right here. The day and the fasting day, going to be a prayer day, repenting day, and so forth. We'll do that tomorrow. Some of it today too. But people don't repent. I just wonder. They just go like that. The Lord said to Adam, you know, this and this and this. There's no record that they fell on their faces and repented. You know, they just blame somebody else. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and so on. Why not repent? Maybe they never knew the concept of repenting. You know, but today, and we know that. Many people that the Lord will judge many times for their errors, they don't repent. They just take it like that. You know, when you waste time that God has given you, you must repent. The Lord wants me to tell you that today. And you must repent. But when you repent, the Lord has a way that he can make it as if you never lost the time. Hallelujah. You know, so they don't repent. They just take it. Adam told, you know, Enoch, well, we're just waiting to die. The Lord said, we're going to die. And you're just waiting to die. And the young man could have said, why? Did you even repent? He said, well, it's too late. We can't repent. He's driven us out. Well, you had a chance to repent before he drove you out. A conversation could have gone like that. You know, but, you know, they just take it. In 1 Kings 13, the young prophet, after he foolishly did what the Lord had told him not to do, and the word of judgment came to him from the same person that initially deceived him, he just took it like that. He did not repent. The man said, look, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, whereas he told you not to come to anyone's house and do this and that, and you have done it, therefore, you know, your carcass will fall by the wayside and this and this. And the man just took it like that. I don't know what's wrong with these people. You know, why don't you repent? You know, now David, he repented. You know, he did a great evil, perhaps worse than anybody else. Not only did he commit adultery, you know, he plotted to kill the woman's husband. You know, and it was a great evil. But, you know, as soon as he, you know, the prophet of the Lord showed him that story, he repented. You know, although God still punished him, but he repented. And God made it like it never happened. He never lost his position, because the Lord said, I will sit upon this man's throne. He never lost it. You know, but because it was because he repented. If he hadn't repented, he would have lost it. Now, people need to learn how to repent. I mean, tremble before the Lord. You know, here's a story. This is a digression, but it's worthwhile. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 21. You know, the Lord, Elijah, you know, and you know the story of Elijah and Ahab, they were always at each other's throats. Elijah always, you know, coming out against Ahab and so forth. So Ahab said to Elijah in 1 Kings 20 and 21, 21 and 20 rather, hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he said, yeah, I found you, because you have sold yourself to walk evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil. So Elijah began to bring the word of judgment against this Ahab for all the evil that he has done. Now, this Ahab was someone who had done wickedly. You know, I mean, there's nothing he hadn't done. He took the vineyard of Naboth. He killed him because his wife told him, you know, the wife said to him, I mean, he wanted this man's vineyard. It was near to his palace, and he wanted to annex it, and he wanted to buy the thing. The man said, no, I'm not going to do it. you know, this is my family thing. I want to keep it. You know, the wife said, look, are you the king or not? You know, he said, look, I'm going to give you this vineyard today. Are you the king? You know, you offered the man. Why are you even offering the man anything? Take it already. You know, this woman spurred him on to, he was evil already, but the, you know, evil witch, I mean, this woman, she spurred him on to do evil worse and so forth. So anyway, when Elijah came to accuse him and indict him, he said, well, have you found him? He said, yeah, I found you. And Elijah began to bring the word of judgment against him. You know, I will bring evil upon you, and I will take away thy posterity, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. That means every man. You know, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. I will make thy house, and the house of Jeroboam, the house of Nebat, you know, and so forth. I told him all these judgments, because you have provoked me to anger, made Israel to sin. You know, and of Jezebel, the Lord said also, the dog shall eat, you know, Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And he that died of Ahab, and just all kinds of judgments that the Lord brought up against him. I listened to verse 25. But there was none like Ahab who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, also stirred up. I mean, that was a duo, an evil duo like you've never seen before. And they did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things that the Amorites did and so on, which the Lord told them cast out, and it came to pass. But listen to this. It came to pass when Ahab heard all the words of judgment that was coming against him. Now this was a very wicked man who cared nothing about the Lord. But what did he do? And this is a lesson in repentance. What did he do? Well, he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth on his head and his flesh. Now, a king doesn't put sackcloth on their head. That's an abomination. They don't do it. And he fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly. And the Lord said, my goodness. And the Lord spoke to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest how this Ahab, this wicked Ahab, humbleth himself before me. Can you see it? Now, because he had humbled himself before me, said the Lord, I will not bring the evil in his days. I'm still going to bring the evil, but I'm going to kick the can down the road, so to speak. I'm going to, you know, push it down, you know, and then, you know, later on in his son's days, will I bring that evil. But for him, I'll extend his, you know, tranquility for a bit, because he repented and humbled himself before me. I mean, look at that. Amazing stuff. I mean, a man that was so wicked that God was going to wipe him and his posterity off. You know, so repentance is so key. When you have wasted your resources, you know, kind of like the so-called prodigal son, and you know his story, how he wasted his resources with riotous living. It's what we were told, you know. But what did he do? What was the turning point in his life? And how did God redeem his lost time? Well, you have to read it in Luke chapter 15 for yourself. You know, the Bible says in verse 17, that's the best part of that story. Luke 15 and verse 17. I love that. When he finally came to his senses. See? I mean, he got this inheritance. He went and squandered everything. He was living on top of the wall. Riotous living and everything. Went down to Sin City. Did all kinds of things. And finally, he lost everything. Because you'd lose everything if you do that. He lost everything. And then wanted to nothing, you know, got hired out to someone that raised a farm of pigs, and he would even want to eat the pig's food. They wouldn't give it to him. And so one day he came to his senses. That's right. That was a turning point. And he said, look, I've got to repent. You know, look, yes, you wasted time. Yes, you lost time, but you must repent of the opportunities that God put in your hands. Well, you didn't do it. You didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. So sometimes that's why you're here. Not everybody. It's not everybody that did that, but some people are. They are as a result of their foolishness, as a result of their disobedience, as a result of their rebellion against the voice of the Lord, and they are finding themselves in a situation. But I'm telling to you today, all of that doesn't matter if you just repent. That's it. This man said, look, I will go to my father and say, I have sinned. That's repentance. I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy. You know, you got to come like that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've messed up. You know, I mean, that's how Daniel prayed. He said, look, he said, you are a God of truth. You are a God of righteousness. You told us to do these things, but we didn't. And because you are holy, that's why these things have come upon us. Confusion of faces have come upon us as it is this day, because we didn't do what we should have done. Yeah, and that's what you need to pray. I said, look, I'm in this situation now because I didn't do what I need to have done. And when you sincerely pray like that, the Redeemer of time, the Redeemer of time, he will step in. And he can change that story. Hallelujah. He can turn it around. And he can make it like it never happened. Like you never lost any time. Hallelujah. Now the time concept will still be in your head. But like we read yesterday, the Lord, when he heals your wounds, he will heal the strokes of the wounds as well. Remove the scars. He will remove the shame. Hallelujah. He will remove the reproach. He will remove the lost time. He will give you double for your trouble. I mean, the Lord knows how to do these things. And at the end, he made the man that came in the 11th hour, the people that came in the 11th hour, he made them equal to the ones that have been there years, weeks, months, hours, days, whatever it is. The Lord, he can do it. Praise the Lord. Well, I pray that the Holy Spirit will interpret to you what it is I am saying here today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me reintroduce to you our amazing God in a different light today. I call him the Time Redeemer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, with him, there is no time at all. Time is nothing with the Lord. I mean, 1,000 years. In his presence, it's like a day, maybe even an hour, maybe even a moment. It doesn't mean anything to him at all. He's not in time. He's eternal. You know, things that are yet to happen, as far as we know, for him, it's already passed. It's already past that time. Praise God. Think of it as a wheel, W-H-E-E-L, of time. It's going around like that in a circle. But for the Lord, he's already gone past those circles many times, and he's right back to the spot where you are. You think still thinking his future, to him it's already past, because he's already done it. And because he knows everything that's already happened, and he has perfect knowledge of all things, he knows how to bring you back to redemption and restoration and recovery. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there are some of you here today that need the Redeemer of time. You also need recovery. Remember, bringing this as part two of yesterday's, and I will be praying now for you. Now, but first things first, we're going to say, Lord, I messed up. That's right. I messed up. You know, I procrastinated. I did this or I did the other or I messed up. You got to come to your senses like this prodigal son. You know, Jesus said one thing in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. I've quoted it many times, but each time I quote it, I focus on, you know, the things that are highly exalted among men are abomination to God. I focus on that part. But I want to focus on this earlier part of it today. He said, ye are they that justify yourselves. You know, people make excuses. That's justifying yourself. Make excuses for your failures. You make excuses for this and that. You rationalize things. No, don't rationalize anything before the Lord. You know, this young man that we call the prodigal son, we never were told their names, him and his brother, you know, but he couldn't rationalize and giving all kinds of excuses, but he didn't. You know, he just repented and went back. Praise God. You know, and when he went back, my goodness, the father was waiting the whole time. You know, the whole time he was gone, the father probably sent people to go look for him and come back and say, well, we don't know where he went. Probably asked his brother, hey, have you heard from your brother? He said, who? You know, the older brother never cared. But the father in his heart, always knowing my son will be back. My son will be back. And always watching out for him. One day went, 2 days went, 1 week went. He'll realize his mistake. He'll come back. You know, 1 month went, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months went. But the man's always out there looking, you know, and asking the brother, do you hear from your brother today? Say, who? Leave me alone. He's already gone, you know. And, but this man always waiting. And he was the first to spot him because he was always on the lookout. And when he saw him afar, he said, that's my son! Glory to God, you know, and all of that. He never even walked for one moment. Thought about the mess that the young man had put himself through. Never for one moment. Because the young man came home. He repented. And the young man started to say, Lord, Father, I'm not worthy. The man wouldn't hear any part of it. He didn't even care about all of that. He called forth his servants. Bring forth the fatted cow. Bring forth the robe. Bring forth the ring. Clean him up. Celebrate. And promote him. That's right. Glory to God. And that's what's coming to you if you come back home. Come to the Lord today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I messed up. I had opportunities that came my way, but I messed up. You messed up? Yeah, you did mess up. Now, the Redeemer of time showing up for you. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to pray. Now, it's a special prayer I want to pray today. And if you are in the audience and you need this prayer, I want you to raise your hand. If you are on stage and you need this prayer as well, well, wave your hand or do something, put up an emoji or something. But I'm going to pray for everybody that needs this prayer today. For the time Redeemer to show up in your life. Hallelujah. Let the time Redeemer. Now he's the only, look, I don't care what it is that you've lost. You know, all you need to do today is come to the Father and say, Lord, I am sorry. You gave opportunities to me. I messed up. You got to admit that. Once you admit that, like the prodigal son, the father doesn't even care about all those things. He restored to this man in one day, one moment, everything he put in. He put the fatted cow, he put the robe, he put even the ring on his finger. My goodness. The older son should have had all those things. But the Lord, you know, he restored everything. The people that came in the 11th hour, he made them equal to the ones that were there. Long time. It made him no difference at all. The Lord knows how to do it. You know, once you just admit your inadequacies, your failures, your shortcomings, and turn to the Lord, he can turn that story. And he's going to do it today. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to assume everybody that's on stage wants this prayer. And if you want the prayer as well, raise your hand and we're going to bring you to stage. Because the people on stage cannot raise their hands. You know, so if once you, I want the moderators to bring up the hand raising. You're not coming to speak or anything, so don't be shy about that. But I'm coming to put you into the prayer. As they raise their hands, just pull them up. I'm going to wait for everybody to come up, and anybody that's on stage will be receiving this prayer. So come to the stage. Now, if you are in the audience and you don't know how to do it, look at that little hand-raising button that's at the bottom in your screen in the corner. Press that just once. It will signal to us that you want to come to stage. And we're going to bring you to stage, and I will be praying for everybody. Now, when I start praying, though, well, I will still pray for those in the audience. But the best way to participate in this right now is to be on the stage. Praise the Lord. You are being brought to the stage, like I said, not to come and speak. But some people say, I don't want to speak. Don't worry about it. I'm not calling you to speak, but I'm calling you to come. It's like a prayer line. When you call a prayer line, you know, since I'm a pastor, you know, I'm used to doing things like this, you know, call people. They have to get up from their seat, come out to the front. You know, why do we do that kind of thing? I mean, why? Have you ever thought about it? You know, is it so that you can embarrass the people? Of course not. It is so that you make them to enact their faith. At least that's what's in my heart. I don't know what's in the heart of other preachers when they do it. When I do it, what I'm thinking about is from the time that you step out from your row into the aisle and you walk down that aisle, come to that stage, you're thinking about it. You're believing something because you are coming. You're taking an action, you know, hallelujah. Just like the woman said, look, if I can just get close enough to him, right, and I can just touch the hem of his garment, you know, and she started to push through the crowd. That's what's in my mind every time I do an altar call. I'm thinking that, look, if they can just step out into that aisle, walk down this aisle, by the time they get here, they are thinking about it, they are engaging, and we are believing together. And I'm telling the Lord, you said, if any two shall agree. Now, they come out here, they know I'm here, and they're coming out to agree with me. That settles it in my heart. That's why I call prayer lines. And I'm calling this prayer line today. I'm telling you, take that step of faith. Raise your hand. Come to the stage. It's like coming down to the altar. I'm going to pray this prayer for the time redeemer to show up for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And all you got to do when I start to pray this prayer is to put the word amen in the chat room. That's it. That's all you got to do. Now, but you wait until I pray. And when I start to pray, you get in the spirit, get in the wheel, you know, that destiny wheel of time. You know, God's got it. He's got it in his hands. It's spinning. You think you are here, but the Lord's already spinned it. He can spin it around, can spin it forward, spin it backwards, spin whatever. You know, it doesn't matter to him at all. He'll spin it around, and you come right back to the place where you were. You should have been 15 years ago. And the Lord, he can fix it. Look, I can't really explain that to you because it's deep. But the Lord showed it to me, how he can do that. You know, and when you get back right there, the Lord made it as if it never happened. Glory to God. He made it as if that loss never happened. So, are you ready? Let's believe God together. Glory to God. Now, this is the moment that you've been waiting for in this room. This is why you are here. You are here for a release. We're not just here just proving that we can do consecration. What good is that if there is no impact in the lives of the people? You know, so this is why you're here. And I'm believing God with you today. So let's do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so, you know, psyched up because I know what the Lord already showed and what he's going to do for you. Now, wherever you are, I don't care if you are in the office, if you're in the marketplace, you know, look, it's your life. Don't worry about somebody else, what they think or what they look. That's their problem. You know that people who are crazy, I mean, really crazy, when they're out on the street doing this crazy stuff, they don't care that anybody's looking at them. Because they are crazy, you know. So don't worry about anybody that looking at you. Something simple I want you to do today. Hallelujah. I want you to throw up your two hands when I begin to pray and say, Lord, carry me. And why is that? Well, think about it. That's what the little kids do when they come to their parent. See, any little child that wants to be carried, when they walk up to the parents, they're throwing up their arms because they want to be carried. That's what they do. And this nature and these things teach us these things. When you come to the Lord, throw up your arms and say, Lord, carry me. And he will carry you today. I am so confident he will do it too. So let's pray. I want you to throw up your hands. I'm not mind if anybody looking at you. And if you are in a place where you can't do it, step away and throw up your hands. Hallelujah. For a minute. And say, Lord, carry me. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I got my hands raised for myself, for my wife, for my children, for their children, even those that are on the way. I got my hands raised for my brethren that are in here today. I got my hands raised for everyone that is hearing my voice today and will hear it later. I got my hands raised on your behalf, as well as mine. In the name of Jesus, Lord, carry us. Carry me, Lord. Father, Lord, we repent of all of the lost opportunities through our disobedience, through our rebellion, through our procrastination, through our time-wasting habits and everything else, and how we have not sanctified your instructions in our hearts, how we have not listened to the urging of the Spirit, how we have not followed wisdom, and how we have followed foolishness in our hearts. And now, it's confusion of faces or whatever situation we find ourselves. But I thank you, Father, because you are the Redeemer of time. Nobody else can do it but you. You can redeem that time, cause that wheel to spin so fast, we'll be right back where we thought we lost from. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I pray for everyone that's here today. Glory to God. And some of you have gone through some really hard times. The things you've struggled with, you've battled with for years. And it seemed like it's never ending. You go up sometimes, you go down sometimes. It's like a yo-yo thing. Our God is not a yo-yo God. The Bible actually says, with him, there is no variableness. That's yo-yo. Or shadow of turning. That's even more yo-yo. He has no mood swings. That, oh, one day he's good, the other day not so good. There's no such thing with him. Praise the Lord. Now, all the time and the years that the kankawon, caterpillar, even your foolishness, even your mistakes have stolen from you, God is able to walk even with your mistakes. Turn that around. The time that you've lost being idle in the marketplace, where the people said, no one has hired us. Well, the master said, don't worry about it. You know, in one moment, he made them equal to those who have been there hours before. And same thing, God make you equal to those that have been there way ahead of you. Has the way he can do it. That we've toiled all night long, you caught no fish at all. In one moment, that time redeemer turned back the hand of the clock. He's only the only one that can do it. Hallelujah. And Father, lift up your people today. Raise us up, O Lord. Hallelujah. Raise us up today, O Lord. In the name of Jesus. Raise us up today, O God. Hallelujah. Raise up your people today in the name of Jesus. Now, I pray for everyone that's in this room right now. Glory to God. And I stand in the gap. Here's what the Lord, here's the promise that the Lord gave me concerning you when we do this consecration. The Lord said that I will be called repairer of the breach. I will be called restorer of paths to dwell in. Hallelujah. Now, I'm an agent of change here today to bring to you this good news, this glad tidings that the Lord is now repairing the breach in your life. The Lord is now restoring the paths and the years that a cankerworm has eaten. But the Lord said, you'll be like that. Hallelujah. You'll be the restorer of paths to dwell in. You'll be the ones that will raise the ruins of former desolations. Hallelujah. So we're raising those ruins. The thing that have been ruined in your life, maybe even the lives of your loved ones, your children or whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, all we have to do today is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent on behalf of myself. I repent on behalf of even my children. Hallelujah. You can do it too. And when you do that, glory to God. The Lord will make things as if it shall has never happened. You see, and those that shall be of thee. Well, I said to the Lord, and I say to the Lord now, who are those that shall be of me? Well, the people of my clubhouse community that you have given me here. Well, I say you build up the old waste places. Well, raise up, say thou shall raise up foundations of many generations, and thou shall be called. And I say amen to that. I want to be called the repairer of the breach. I want to be called restorer of paths to dwell in. So I'm doing this according to the word of the Lord. And you too will be restorer of paths to dwell in. You too will be repairer of the breach. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Father, I rebuke and cause the devourer to come out from the lives of your people. I command spiritual handcuffs over the time devourers that have devoured time in the lives of your people. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, the locust, and the palmerworm that are eating away time in the lives of your people. Now, the Lord says, I will restore, saith the Lord. And he is the time redeemer. Praise God. He is the God of the 11th hour. Hallelujah. Now may the God of the 11th hour shine favorably upon you. When you think it's far too late, he is called the Redeemer. Like the thief on the cross, it was far too late, he thought. But in one moment, the Redeemer redeemed him. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord give you grace. And the Lord show you that he is the time Redeemer. Now, he can take that which is lost, which you have lost, and he can restore it. Hallelujah. He can restore you to your place. He restored the prodigal son to his place where he should have been. He should not have walked away. He walked away out of his own foolishness. He squandered everything. But because he repented and came back, the Father restored him as if he never left. Praise God. May the favor of God be with everyone that's in this room that said amen today. In the name of Jesus. Now the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and grant you peace by all means. And may the word of the Lord that you have heard today, you know, ring continuously in your hearts. In Jesus' name, the Lord give you victory. And the Lord restore the years the cankerworm has eaten. The Lord said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The Lord rebuke the devourer for your sake. The time devourer especially for your sakes, even on today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.